Could it be a cult? Could it be a satanic cult? Do they worship very strange idols, for example?
I would be hesitant to call them a satanic cult.
All right.
But I'll give you the reasons that some people believe they are a cult. In the initiation ceremony, for example, one of the costumes that the older members of the society dress up in is a devil costume. There are two name. Let's see. I'm trying to survey this as quickly as I can. There are two names that are handed down from class to class that have to do with the devil. One is Little Devil. One is Long Devil. John Kerry, in fact, would have been named Long Devil, but Long Devil is given to the man in the club who is the tallest person, and he missed it by about an inch. So it went to a future doctor instead. In terms of worshiping, there is a goddess that the society pays homage to. Her name is Eulogia. They call her the goddess of eloquence. And according to Skull and Bones legend, and this is why you'll see 322 is Skull and Bones' magic number. According to Bones legend, when the Greek orator Demosthenes died in 322 BC, Eulogia, the goddess of eloquence, arose to the heavens. Bones documents calls this, and I'm quoting here, the first miracle of the origin of our goddess. And then Eulogia didn't descend again until she just happened to take up residence with Skull and Bones in 1832. Or in typical affected Bones prose, they say, the equally miraculous transmigration of her spirit to Yale College. So Skull and Bones adopted the number 322 as a symbol, and now much of its biweekly program is performed in deference to this goddess. Members of Skull and Bones within the tomb are called Knights of Eulogia. They open a shrine to her at meetings, and they regularly sing sacred anthems about her, including one, and I'll give you a sample. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll give you the lyrics.
Oh, come on. Go ahead.
You know what? here's the lyrics. Yale boasts one pride in senior year, one jewel in her crown, and only those who enter here enjoy its blessed renown. Then let us to our goddess true shout forth in loudest tones, hurrah for old 322, hurrah for Skull and Bones. It's a very sort of 19th century anthem, I guess.
When they are performing their rituals, and, you know, we've talked about some of the very bizarre behavior of some of them. I'm always thinking of that movie, Eyes Wide Shut, that Stanley Kubrick was putting together.
Got to tell you, Bonesmen don't look like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman trying to get images in their head.
No, they don't at all. The members of Skull and Bones, and you know, after they get out of college, are they guaranteed position in wealth?
No.
They are not?
No, they're not guaranteed anything, and there is no money that's granted to them immediately upon graduation. I think there was that movie a few years ago called The Skulls, which was based on Skull and Bones, that a lot of people took as truth. What that movie did was fictionalize everything that people truly believe about the society, but very little about that movie had a basis in truth.
That was, I think if I remember, the kids jumped off the building into a lake or something like that.
Yeah, they were trying to steal a mascot. There was one thing in that movie, for people who saw it, and I think a lot of people did, more than are willing to admit, there was one scene in that movie that did ring true. Soon after the boys are initiated, they're sort of whisked away to this beautiful island, and they're in a mansion. They're given suits, and they are introduced almost immediately to some of the very prestigious members of the society. Now, Skull and Bones does have an island. It's kind of run down. It doesn't look like the island in the movie. It's called Deer Island. It's about 350 miles from New York City in the St. Lawrence River, and that is a place where people will meet, someone from the admissions committee at Harvard, or a senator, just like in the movie.
Generally, though, if, let's say, a company president is going to hire someone, and he has got a choice between someone who was a Skull and Bones member or just somebody else, I bet he would be more apt to pick the Skull and Bones member.
Oh, without a doubt. And there are two reasons. One is, you know what, it's American business as usual to pick a crony over somebody else, whether you are a member of Skull and Bones or a fellow alum of the University of Oklahoma or something like that. But Skull and Bones really takes that mission to heart. You're pretty much expected to help if a member asks you for help. It used to be that they had a code phrase. A Skull and Bonesman would call another, you know, stranger or a friend, and say, "Do you know General Russell?" And that means, "I'm a Bonesman, you're a Bonesman, let's work something out." However, I printed that in my book, so I hope for their sakes they changed the code.